to him. Albert Einstein is today revered as the greatest genius of the 20th century. Einstein was a Jewish physicist and a member of the German Communist Party, a Zionist, and a supporter of the Bolshevik slaughtering regime in Soviet Union. He is credited with creating Einstein's special and general theory of relativity. His writings have been accused of plagiarism by many historians and researchers. One of the most famous mathematical equations in the world, E equals mc squared, was first published by Olinto de Preto 2 years prior to Einstein's publishing of the equation. The equation E equals mc squared should rightfully be called the Preto equation.
He was a commie. He says he was a pacifist, but he wanted war with Germany. He actually wanted to genocide Germans. There was a quote where he said, "The Germans can be killed or constrained after the war, but they cannot be re-educated to a democratic way of thinking and acting. It is hoped that by war's end, they will largely have been killed off." Albert Einstein said this. At Lincoln University, California, Einstein gave a speech in which he called racism a disease of white people and added, "I do not intend to be quiet about it." But he was vehemently anti-nationalist and anti-white, but very, very pro-Jewish. In fact, he was offered a presidency of Israel. He politely declined the offer by saying, "I'm deeply moved by the offer from our state of Israel and at once saddened and ashamed that I cannot accept." He was a hardcore Zionist but opposed nationalism at every turn for Europeans. In fact, he wanted to crush it. So what did he give us anyway? Everything is relative? Relative? Moral relativism? Nothing is certain. No such thing as an absolute. Anything goes. What is truth anyway? There's no meaning except relativism, of course, right? So only his view of the universe is the right one that we're all choking to death on, right? Many physicists disagree with his theories because that's all they are, is theories. Well, how has he even gotten this big in the first place? Well, it's a fact that his work was not only twisted, unscientific ideas, but that it was science that was plagiarized. I know Red Eyes did a show on this, a great show on this, covering this in detail. His writings included his popular 1924 book, Meaning of Relativity, which was plagiarized from the Lorentz transformation, plagiarism of the mass energy equivalence, largely based on the work of George Fitzgerald and Hendrik Lorentz, Irish and Dutch theoretical physicists. And also the work of French physicist Henri, help me with this, Poincaré.
Henri Poincaré.
There you go. He developed
Henri Poincaré.
Oh, there you go. He developed a theory of relativity years before Einstein. And it gets worse. Plagiarism of Paul Gerber's, or is it Gerber's, groundbreaking work on the speed of gravity. Okay, this was a German guy. And the idea that the speed of light was a constant and was independent of the motion of its source was not Einstein's at all, but was proposed by the Scottish scientist James Maxwell in 1878. Also, Berhard Riemann, a German, was the first to develop a sound non-Euclidean geometry, which is the basis of all the math he used to describe relativity. Also, it goes on, Heinrich Hertz, the father of the unit of frequency, Hertz, right, sound vibration, discovered that electrodes illuminated with ultraviolet light and they create electric sparks more easily. Well, in 1905, Einstein published the paper explaining this same experiment from Hertz's photoelectric effect, and it was actually Hertz's discovery that led to the quantum revolution. Yet Einstein was awarded the Nobel Prize in 1921 for the discovery of the law of the photoelectric effect. Okay? It goes on. Nikola Tesla, he could not stand Einstein. In fact, he called him an old crank. He gave a scathing analysis of Einstein's relativity theory, calling it a magnificent mathematical garb, which fascinates, dazzles, and makes people blind to the underlying errors. The theory is like a beggar clothed in purple whom ignorant people take for a king. He said this in 1935. John Murray Cudahy, a brilliant known sociologist, said Einstein was motivated by a desire to distort and destroy Western science. Very, very accurate. Dayton Clarence Miller, president of Britain's Royal Astronomical Society, disagreed with all Einstein's theory. He had his own absolute space theory, which is interesting. And it goes on, 100 prestigious Austrian and German scientists denounced him in this book, Hundert, I don't know how to say it, Otterin Gigan, I'll pull it up right here, accused him of being a pseudo-mysticism and pseudo-mystic and just speculating everything, basically. 100 scientists. H.L. Mencken, there is sound reason for believing that Einstein will not hold up in the long run. His curved space may be classed with psychosemantic bumps of Gall and Spurzheim. Two other brilliant scientists. So the point is, we wouldn't be in the Stone Age without him, hardly. We'd be cultivating other planets by now, right? And then people who say, oh, you're just jealous of him, or, oh, it's because he's Jewish. No, it's because he was a thief, a liar, and a plagiarist, and an awful person in his private life, and, you know, true brilliant people couldn't stand him, and they viewed him as a crackpot, and a liar, and a plagiarist, because he was. And Einstein criticized scientists he felt threatened by true geniuses, like Erwin Schrödinger, quantum theory, Werner Heisenberg, Hilbert, Planck. He was actually the jealous one who was attacking all these, but he was propped up as the archetype of brilliance, genius in science, the smartest man alive. And he was a Jew, right? So he's just a pure creation, basically, of a Jewish media hype that was manufactured in the 20s, basically like a pop star. But he was a commie who failed his college entrance exam and shamelessly ripped off true geniuses. So he's all smoke and mirrors. He's a fraud, people. And I don't know if you guys have heard this before, but it's massive. Germany, Henrik, as you said, was thriving. I mean, just amazing minds were coming out of Germany in this time. It's not like Einstein took Germany out of some kind of Stone Age and they were, you know, they were not going to advance without his brilliance, right?
While Europe was still at peace in 1939, the development of the American atomic bomb was proposed by Albert Einstein, Eugene Wigner, and Leo Szilard, all Jews, to Roosevelt. They wrote a letter to him in which they described the power of a potential atomic bomb. Einstein falsely insinuated that Germany was already working on an atomic bomb and urges Roosevelt into building such a weapon. Out of this effort emerged the Manhattan Project, in which the development of the atomic bomb was done. The leader was Robert Oppenheimer. Developers were Richard Feynman, Owen Chamberlain, Enrico Fermi, Edward Teller, John Neumann, and others. On the afternoon of April 12, 1945, Roosevelt died in a massive stroke. The failed businessman and KKK member, Vice President Harry Truman, now became president. Roosevelt's Jewish and communist inner circle continued to run the show, while Truman from Missouri delivered the speeches. In April and May 1945, Japan made three attempts through neutral Sweden and Portugal to bring a peaceful end to the war. In August, Japan tried via neutral Soviet channels to negotiate surrender. Every peace attempt made by Japan would also be fruitless. Ignoring the Japanese pleas for peace, the Allies would instead prepare for major attacks on Japan. The United States Air Force had carried out bombing raids against around 60 Japanese cities such as Tokyo already in 1942. Now on the night of 9th to 10th of March 1945, 2,000 tons of the exact same type of incendiary bombs dropped on Dresden 1 month earlier was employed in the genocidal terror bombing on Tokyo. The order came from Air Force General Curtis LeMay to fly as low as possible and to bomb the Japanese homes and other buildings which were made of wood or paper to cause as much havoc as possible. Thousands of civilians were burned or asphyxiated to death. The burnt bodies of 100,000 dead civilians covered the streets. Millions of innocent Japs were injured and left homeless. The bombings would be repeated on May 23rd and 25th. American Air Force General Curtis LeMay boasted that the American bombers were driving the Japanese back to the Stone Age. This, however, would later be overshadowed by the following atomic bombs that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. These bombings resulted in the immediate deaths of around 100 to 150,000 in Hiroshima and 60 to 80,000 in Nagasaki from injuries sustained from the explosions and acute radiation sickness, and even more deaths from long-term effects of ionizing radiation. Between the two bombings, Stalin broke the Soviet-Japanese Non-Aggression Pact of 1941 and declared war upon an already beaten Japan. Soviet troops even began pouring into Manchuria, overwhelming the Japanese forces there. Japan surrendered on 15th of August 1945. General Patton warned about letting Stalin get to Berlin before the Americans. After a visit to ruined Berlin, he wrote to his wife on July 21, 1945. Berlin gave me the blues. We have destroyed what could have been a good race, and we are about to replace them with Mongolian savages. And all Europe will be communists. It is said that for the first week after they took Berlin, all women who ran were shot, and those who did not were raped. I could have taken it instead of the Soviets had I been allowed. As the war now had ended, the Jewish genocidal Morgenthau plan was implemented for the total destruction of German industry and the enslavement of the German race. The winners would now basically starve millions of Germans, mostly civilians, to death, to inflict collective punishment on the German people. Germany's real nightmare was about to unfold as the communists imposed